seek the wisdom that is from above. Many of us are familiar with the tales from the Arabian Nights, and perhaps most especially those that feature Aladdin. Do you remember him? He is the man who comes into possession of a strangely magical brass oil lamp, which when repeatedly rubbed, releases a genie. Now, genies were wish-granting spirits who must obey the one whose rubbing of the oil lamp released him from within the captivity of the oil lamp. Within the stories of the Arabian Nights, the genie would vaporize into a cloud, assuming the form of a great hulking mountain of a man. When he had become fully formed, he would then thunder, "And how may I do your bidding, my master? For your wish is my command." Wouldn't it be great to own such a lamp? How would you like to have your own personal genie who must obey your every command and grant you every wish you make? Hint, hint. In the Arabian Nights, not every wish turns out to be such a great idea. The story actually becomes a cautionary tale that warns us against desiring a wish-granting genie in a brass oil lamp. For we are foolish creatures, lacking the wisdom to know what best to ask for should all of the world's possibilities lay at our feet. Better, the book of Proverbs tells us, to eat our morsel of bread in peace than to aspire to ruinous gain. Our greedy hearts would only betray us. The conniving genie would conspire to free himself from having to do our every bidding. And in the end, our final wish would be to have never found that hideous oil lamp in the first place. But change the story from fiction to fact. What if it was not a genie who appeared before you, but the very God of the universe, the creator of heaven and earth? This is precisely what King Solomon of Israel was confronted with one day when God appeared to him and pronounced genie-like, "Ask what I should give to you." Notice that Solomon did not stall for time, hedging his bets, saying, "Can I have a couple of days to think about that?" No, rather his was an immediate response to God, and that first garners our attention. In verse 8, Solomon responds, "Thou hast dealt with my father David with great loving kindness, and has made me king in his place. Now, O Lord God, thy promise to my father David is fulfilled. For thou hast made me king over a people as numerous as the dust of the earth. Give me now wisdom and understanding, that I may go out and come in before this great people. For who can rule this great people of thine?" What an absolutely splendid answer. Solomon's first thought was not, "Make me rich," or "Make me powerful," "Make me live a long and happy life," "Make me the envy of all people." No, no, no. He had the wisdom already to ask for greater wisdom. A godly wisdom, a wisdom that comes down from heaven, which only God himself could grant. My dear students, faculty, and friends, this beseeching heaven for wisdom is the epitome of both humility and wisdom. Apart from crying out for salvation from our sins, what more virtuous request could we make of our Heavenly Father? How can we make such a request, you might ask? We have neither genie nor a voice from heaven inviting us to do so. Oh, but we do have access to the same God who inquired of Solomon. In the book of James, we're urged by the largesse of God, who invites us saying, "But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him." This scripture is a promise of God, a promise that simply cannot fail. God's word is sure. His yes is yes, and his no is no. Therefore, he will not fail to grant wisdom to each and every one who by sincere faith turns his eyes towards heaven and with supplicating voice cries out, "Lord, grant me wisdom." As we stand on the threshold of a new academic year, what I eagerly desire for all of us in the greater Geneva community is that we would seek wisdom. Like Solomon, we could ask for many things. We could ask for better grades, for more or different friends, for greater athletic prowess, and for early admission to your dream college. But none of these will suffice. Let us instead, as a community, lift up our voice in prayer. Let us lift up our voice in song, claiming the promise that to each who asks by faith, wisdom from God will cascade down upon us as with the sound of mighty rushing waters. We could be deluged with wisdom if this corporate body earnestly desired it to be so. Endowed with heavenly wisdom, we would each learn better how to walk wisely in a fallen world. It's hard, isn't it, to know right from wrong at times. Not everything is easy to discern. There are shades of gray and many tough decisions we must make. As fallen sinners, we live what I like to call east of Eden. That is, we no longer live in the idyllic comforts and pleasures of the Garden of Eden any longer. Long ago, in Adam and Eve, our first parents, we were driven out of the garden and prevented from ever going back. We live in a comparable wilderness by contrast to Eden. Life is hard. Decisions are tough. Relationships are messy. They can be very messy. And many times over, we're at a loss as what to do next. In our quandary, we often listen to the voice of temptation. We succumb to base desires. We deceive ourselves and we deceive others, only later to lament our folly. A growing list of regrets reminds us that we are not half as savvy as we thought we were. We trip, stumble, and fall, cursing our situation and wishing for an imaginary magic wand that could make everything right again. But there is no magic wand. Instead, there is wisdom generously supplied by God to those who knew that they are desperately in need of it. At the risk of sounding merely pragmatic, trust me, wisdom works. Wisdom works. Oh, it's not foolproof. Wisdom isn't infallible. It does not obviate the need for good counsel and the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit, but wisdom does in fact help us to live godly lives in the wilderness east of Eden. Oh, how the world desperately needs to see you. It needs to see me. It needs to see this entire Geneva community walk with integrity, to see us extend grace to one another, to love sacrificially, to flourish despite our circumstances, to avoid temptations, to glorify God, and to enjoy Him immensely forever. In Christ Jesus, we are the new Adam, a new humanity. And while it is true we live outside the old Garden of Eden, we are making our pilgrimage to a new and a better home, one where the risen Christ reigns supreme. Let us then live as citizens of heaven, no longer conformed and constrained by the mud, by the mire, and the sin of this world that so easily entangles us. Live in such a way that the world can't help but notice the stark contrast to their own plight. Be a light to those in darkness. Let wisdom shine. Think with me for just a moment as we turn our focus from living in the world out there to how we relate to one another within the Geneva community of students, of staff, of parents. It should not come to you as a surprise that it is going to require wisdom for relationships to go well within the community, even as it requires wisdom to learn how to live apart from the community. My prayer is that we will learn how to relate to each other with godly affection. My heartfelt goal is that Geneva will become a realm of grace. Now, there is a goal worthy of our best pursuits, a realm of grace. That phrase sounds so enticing. It is so inviting, and it conjures up images that are wonderfully attractive if only it could exist. Well, I just happen to think that it can exist to some meaningful extent, and that in fact we are already experiencing it within our current Geneva relationships. How is it so that this realm of grace already exists here in part? A realm is a sphere, it's a domain, a province, a distinct area governed by some animating idea or person. As a Christian community, Geneva is governed by the risen and ruling Jesus Christ. This school is his domain, and he literally animates it. He makes it come alive by his presence. He rules over his realm, and as a gracious ruler, he does so by grace. Therefore, we are already a realm of grace. What we need to understand is that it still takes huge measures of wisdom to live here in a manner that truly pleases God. But we don't always please God, do we? We who are Christians are at the same time righteous and at the same time sinners. We are drawn to the beauty and loveliness of Christ, and we are also, as the hymn lyrics state so well, prone to wander from the God I love. We may live in this realm of grace, but we also defile it by foolish and sometimes sinful ways. What are some of the means by which we ignore wisdom and corrupt this realm of grace? All tussling and arguing over who got the ball first is one way. Being snarky makes the list, as does gossiping. Lacking charity, being unjust and closing our eyes to the plight of the needy, these are all sure signs of sin. Insisting on our own way, refusing to trust others, and rejoicing in others' misfortunes are also clear signs of our violating the realm of grace. But you know what? Here's the good news. It is patently evident that the Geneva community is a realm of grace, despite any record of accusing sins. Jesus Christ does reign and rule here. Wisdom does prevail. Charity abounds. The fruit of the Spirit issues forth in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Lives are transformed. Forgiveness is extended. mercy trumps the law. Nurturing is everywhere. The Bible is believed and hearts are lifted in praise. We can oftentimes be oblivious to our surroundings. It doesn't even cross our minds to think of the air we breathe. That is, until we get knocked down by a wave and we fight to get our head above water again to take the next breath. The same is likely to be true of your experience of being in the Geneva community. You may not always be thinking of it as a realm of grace. That is, until you feel the world out there intrude upon you in some very crass and ugly ways. And then you gratefully recall that there is something very different about this community that persists in drawing you back time and time and time again. I personally think it is because you know that there is wisdom here, and you know as well that Geneva is a realm of grace. Remember Solomon's request, and I pray that you would seek the wisdom that is from above.